How many of you have your grandparents still alive right now? Raise your hands.
Wow.
That's like most of you. Those at the back. Right at the back, sitting against the wall. Don't have, Okay, I'm thinking this audience, your pastor mentioned to me, 13 to 25. So most likely your grandparents are still around. Unfortunately, when I was born, I have only one grandma left. And the rest of them were already gone. But through the journey with God, I started to discover a bit more about my family. And as I share, you kind of get hang of it. So today's about... Just want to click. Okay. So let me introduce myself. Usual introduction first. My wife, beautiful wife, Sarah. My boy. And I was just telling your pastor, Christina, that I kind of accelerated. Have twins. Cute or not? Two girls on the right. Sophia and Joy. Right? So really, really kind of happily married. Love kids. So you guys will love kids. So now you'll be thinking, not really. But yeah. So this is my family. This is a picture that I always remember. Alright. But Pastor has mentioned about when I was 22, I started a company. That was also the year before I actually was saved. In Cornerstone Church. So I come from Cornerstone Church in Odian Katong. That's where good laksa comes from. After I was saved, God didn't speak to me anything. I was like, okay, what should I do to serve? So I decided, let's go and try and join the community services, do some voluntary work outside of church. And that's where I landed up in this nursing home. And this nursing home is in Thompson. And in this nursing home, that's where God started to speak to me. Who has been in a nursing home here? Raise your hands. Wow. Is it St. Andrew's nursing home nearby? I guess so. Okay, yeah. So, St. John's nursing home quite good already. But this nursing home, and many others, okay. So when I first went there about 10 years ago, this nursing home was horrid, okay. There was smell, people moaning. You can see the beds. Imagine someone sleeping beside you like 24 hours every day, right? Not too nice. But God gave me eyes to see beyond the natural, right? He started to show me that, hey, this old ama sitting over there, this old ama lying down over there, all of a sudden, I started to feel how they felt. I started to feel that their loneliness, their immense pain in them. And the sense of abandonment. And when you sit beside them, you can sense that it's like they are trying to just kind of grab hold of you and talk to you. You can sense that dryness. You know, it's like when we can't feel God's presence, it's like we just so want and desire Him. And this, I remember this ama, she's just so, I can still sense that she just want to talk to me. So one something as a void inside. And thereby I saw that the people in nursing homes were poor. Jesus said that I want you to go to the poor, the widowed, my children. And that's when I saw that the older people, they were poor. Why? Physically poor, lying down there, they can't walk. Mentally poor because many of them have dementia and they are declining, right? Emotionally poor, they were just broken. Some of them were abandoned by their children. Socially poor, seldom people visit them except on Christmas days and public holidays. Spiritually poor, they do not know God. And so they were the epitome of poverty in our society. They're not just financially poor, poor in every way. And then I was just like, wow, so poor. And oftentimes I feel really scared to go nursing home because I will cry buckets after that. But God started to change my heart. And I started to have a bit more meaningful conversation with them rather than a shallow conversation. And so today I'll ask you, today is an opportunity, you know. God called me to be the voice of the elderly. You know, I find it very hard to say it last time, but today I believe that I'm the voice for the elderly. And I believe that God wants to reach your grandparents. God wants to reach your parents and the older people that lives around you, perhaps your neighbor next door, the one that you often walk by and not speak to. And today I pray that God will turn your heart towards them. It's an opportunity for God to do something in your heart, to turn your hearts towards them. And not only did God start to call me to reach out to older people, to have meaningful conversations, He wanted me to change the industry. So that started my journey of starting a social enterprise. 2015, we won a Youth Social Enterprise Award from the president, and then a charity, etc. But that was, to me, that was all part and parcel of God's plan to bring me to a place where I can continue to speak and inspire more people to love the older people in their lives. Right. That's Joy, one of my twin. Most recently, 2017, at a nursing home, trying to sayang an uncle's feet when she was about 1.5 years old. And often bring my kids to a nursing. Why? Because I want to start young, to start loving older people. I don't want them to walk away and feel that older people are dirty or sick, you know. I don't want to be afraid of older people. I want them to start touching, relating to them, having meaningful conversation with them. So, when was the last time you had a meaningful conversation with your grandma or your dad, your mom? Really deep, meaningful conversation that connected your heart with them or their heart to yours. When was the last time? And that's why I wanted my daughter to start doing a bit more. But then in the nursing home, when I was looking and walking around, speaking to the people, and I saw the young people come in, and I started to see two things. One, I saw a great divide between the young and the old. And I also discovered a great lie that is very prevalent globally in our society. I'll explain why. Well, let me start with the great divide. So in 2007, when I went to a nursing home, after I left that place, it was pretty much a cognitive thing. In my head, I'm like, wow, they're so poor thing. They're alone, they're abandoned, they're a very poor thing. And that's what most people do when they go to nursing homes. That's what other religions do as well. When they go there, right? And what they do is that, I show empathy, I pity them. But God brought me from one place of empathy, pity, to compassion. Jesus had compassion on the people. That's why He came. He had compassion. It was a compelling compassion. A love that compelled me to do something. But God did it. And so I would be driving along the road, and I would see an uncle in a window. And all of a sudden, I saw his loneliness. I would drive by and I see an auntie, very peculiar, just standing at the gate. And I'll be walking to a supermarket, and I saw the cashier. And I can sense in her a disappointment and regret and pain. And all of a sudden, I felt God turning my heart. And I was not someone that would usually like old people. How many of you like old people? You can say that you really like old people. Okay, I hope that after my sermon, maybe more will put out hands. I was someone that really just respect my grandma. You know, like the usual thing, you go to grandma's house, she'll cook a nice meal, and you're like, oh, hello, ama, jia pa boy. You know, that's my only Hokkien face. Jia pa boy, jia pa liao, oh yeah, okay. Then she'll say, jia, 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 and give you a lot of things to eat, right? You must try to finish everything. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, 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 just eat. And the conversation ends there, right? It's just that, right? Respect her. Don't make her like kind of angry and stuff. Just respect her, be a good boy kind of thing in front of grandma. I was not someone that particularly love old people. But when God turned my heart supernaturally, what happened was I found out that I just love them. Right? And I can compare to people who serve in Sunday school. You know, when you have Sunday school teachers, or maybe for a matter of fact, most people when they see little kids run to them, those that are toddling around, they'll be like, oh, so cute, so cute. They want to go and hug them. That's the same thing I feel for old people. When I see an old ama sitting by the hour on a wheelchair, I want to go and hug her and then say, ama, like that, you know? But sometimes I refrain myself. You know why? Because one time I go and hug that ama, give me a smack. So cannot anyone hug ama? Then I realize, though I try to love them. So I was like, oh, ama, then I just pat her shoulder first, like that. But uncle can just go and hug, And yeah, just want to love them, you know? And I started to find favor with older people, and that's so peculiar, because it's only when I turn my heart towards them, I started to find favor. And some of them will say, wow, this ama is super difficult, you know, very difficult. But I just went there, you know, my heart turned towards them, wanting to love them and pray and say, God, just help me to just breach through this auntie. You know, I heard that she's hard. So I go in the room and I'll be like, talk to the ama, and all of a sudden, they will change. They will turn. They also will turn. They will respond. And from someone who's really tough, weathered, you know, many of them have gone through a lot of things. Right? Some of them that I work with went through World War, and they are really so bitter and so bitter. Hatred in them. But when you turn your heart towards them, their heart just start to soften. And that's where you start to be able to reach them. Right? Just the statistics. I put this up on Sing Stats this year. Last year. How many unsaved or pre-believing 55-year-old and above do you think there are in Singapore? Time a quiz, come on. I must jump down now. Boom. Any shout outs? Here. What do you think? Your name? Nisha. What do you think? Shout out number. How many? 40,000. In Singapore, no? 40%. 40%. Okay, 40%. I don't know how much 40%. Can you give me a number? Anyone give me a number? 100,000? 100,000, raise your hand. No. Some, okay. 200,000? 300,000? Okay, one. 400,000? Hey, you all need to commit one, must raise your hand now. Okay, more. 500,000? Half a million already, yeah? Okay, 500,000. 600,000? Yeah, 700,000? Yeah. 800,000? Okay, some very smart. I see Pastor Titus raise a hand, they all follow. It is a number. $872,000. What's the congregation size here? 8,000? Okay, so anyway, the Methodist Church has about 20 of churches. They're only about 40,000. So that means Methodist Church times quite a lot. 872,000. When I saw this number, I was literally floored. Right, I'm like, wow, there's 872,000. I don't think all our churches in Singapore can even like fit them, right? But there's 872,000 to be saved and discipled for the nations. And time is short. And many of them are your grandparents. Some of them are your parents. And this number shook me a lot. Because last year, interestingly, we had the highest suicide on record for older people. Highest in our history. And that really shook me, because I was asking God, why? Why, Lord? Why? Why such a big number? And why highest is on record? And I felt God says, Isaiah, I'm going to raise up a Caleb army. I'm going to raise up a Caleb army. He's going to raise up a Caleb army that would come alongside the church, the younger generation, in the intergenerational army. That's the destiny of our church in Singapore and Asia. An intergenerational army will be raised up. And God is calling forth, activating, turning hearts to enable that to happen. But a lot of things stand in our way. I was at Yakun one day at City Square Mall, and I saw this. I saw everyone on their mobile phones, father, mother, three children, and then the ama sitting down there like that, on her own, because she didn't have her mobile phone, right? And I'm like, wow. And this very interesting phenomenon. When young say, I want mother, my mother, my mother. But when old they say, your mother, not my mother anymore. And that's the current societal mindset. Interesting, I was just having a conversation with Joanna, the head's focus on the family. So in Focus does what they call a whole life inventory, where they poll people from churches all across Singapore. So this was statistics that came from 2016, later it's going to be 2018, thousands of people across the churches. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, you know, very interesting data that 58% and 50% doesn't even read Bible with their parents, and parents vice versa, doesn't read Bible with their children. 41% never ever pray or worship together. I'm like, wow, there's such a divide. But many youths say that their parents are significant impact for their spiritual growth. I'm also wondering, how come grandparents no impact? 57%. Right? A father and mother has a role, key roles, right? Role models. And in this you can see, as we grow older, the relationships get more and more disconnected, get more and more foreign, and not as close any longer. And this is data from churches all over Singapore. This is the current state of affairs that we can change together. And interestingly, they say, hey, you know that, how can church support? Many youths and young adults says, I want to be able to care for my parents or relate to them better. Right? So there seems to be a desire to reach heart to heart to parents. What do you guys say? Raise your hand if you say that I want to be able to relate to my parents better or my grandparents better. Raise your hands. Okay, cool. I pray that at the end of this service something will happen, yeah? For you guys. Okay. This is my key scripture, Malachi 4:5-6. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This scripture is really pivotal because it's pinned at a point where it's the end and the last part of the Old Testament, and basically what it says that this will happen in the last days, and this is where we're living at, and Spirit of Elijah will come to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. This is something that I so passionately want to see happen. People's hearts turn. As I mentioned just now, God turned my heart supernaturally. This was a scripture that confirmed it for me, that He has come to turn, He came to turn my heart towards older people, and towards my own parents, right? And he's going to do it for many others supernaturally. It's not something you can weigh yourself and say, oh, I want to now love my grandma so much more. I want to love my mom so much more. It's really hard from a psychological point of view. You know, I have psychologists that I hire in my company, but it's only so much they can do. But when God does something in our hearts to turn, it just shifts things, right? And interestingly, I was just looking through, you know, fathers, the root word of fathers. And that when you turn the house of fathers as in biological father, that's one. In the root word, it also includes grandfathers. So there's turning your heart of grandfathers. And then I start to think that, hey, you know, the revelation came to me that God has always been a God of our father. Right? God of our forefathers. And it's always been a generational thing. When God addresses his people, it's generational. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there to me, that shows that there is a unity that has been expressed through family groups. Yeah? So thereby, that's why I said there's a kingdom army that God is going to form. And it's going to be made up of many different families. Spiritual families or biological families that are saved to come together, and it has to be intergenerational. It's not just the old going up. It's not just the youth coming up. It's intergenerational. And thereby it's never been about passing the baton. And so there has to be a turning of hearts. Turning of hearts. Turning of hearts. Grandfathers, fathers. Grandfathers to fathers to children. Grandfathers to children. And vice versa. Children to the fathers and to the grandfathers. And what's the point of that? The point of that is so that we can turn our heart to God the Father. Yeah? We can turn our hearts to God. All of us turn our hearts to God the Father. There's a restoration. Because God knows that in the last days, we'll be turning away. Our hearts will grow cold. That's why there's a turning of hearts. So that all of us collectively can turn our hearts towards the Father. Which is exactly what we were saying about just now. Build our life upon the firm foundation. So turning looks like what? Turning looks like returning. Returning back. Returning back. Going back. Returning to a state of heart where you can connect again and relate again and love again. It's about repenting. It's about turning away from sin. It's about turning away from that root word. That word that speaks death instead of life. It's about restoration. Restoring relationships. Restoring broken down relationships that does not glorify God in the sight of others. And it's about again. So it's again and again and again. We turn. Again we restore. Again. There's that such a redemptive meaning to that word turn. When you say turn, he came to turn. And he now wants to turn the heart of fathers to children and children to the fathers. This is my dad. He's an amazing guy. He passed away in 06. He came to the Lord first. And he came to the Lord after he had cancer. And it's through him that I really started to believe in God. I came from a Catholic school, and we used to say, you know, the Lord's Prayer. I didn't really believe in that. And after my dad was saved, there was a 180 degree turn. It's as if he was turned towards the Father. Hot temper, no more hot temper. He used to like scream at my mom. He used to be like really hot temper and angry. You know, all of a sudden he became mellowed. Become like more calm. And I remember he'll get skinnier and skinnier, and he'll just be resting at home, listening to sermons and listening to Christian worship. And he just turned. So amazing, right? But I remember on my wedding day, my cousin said this, you know. He says, Isaiah, I want you to know, your dad said this before he died. I was like, wow, what did my dad say? And he said that when you were not there, you know, then I was still clubbing when my dad was safe. and so I was not there with my dad, you know. And my cousin said, my dad said this, you know, that because my auntie, which my dad's sister, brought him to Christ, and she was serving the old people, right? And my dad was lying on hospital bed and telling my cousin this, and he says, Eileen, you know, I see your mom, you know, serving the older people with Christ, you know, I want to do the same. If God lets me live, I want to serve them all my life. I want to go and minister to them. But sadly, after 2 months, my dad passed away. And when my dad passed away, what happened? I was saved during the process of the wake, the funeral, and was brought into church. I started crying buckets and got to know Jesus. But what I didn't know was only at my wedding day, I just cried my eyes out. Why? Because the dream that my father had to serve the older people with Jesus was just a dream. But it's not just a dream for me, because all of a sudden, now it's my vision. I've been serving seniors, and that's a vision that God handed to me. He literally gave it to me after I was saved. I started seeing visions, dreams of things that are to come, calling me towards older people. And thereby I understood that my father's dreams became my vision. And now I'm serving older people, and I'm going to serve them all my life. And so when I speak to older people, I always tell them, hey, you need to dream. You need to dare to dream, because your dream will become the vision of the next generation, the vision that they carry, the vision that they would follow. So ask your parents, are they dreaming? Right? Are they dreaming? Are they dreaming? Right? Can be received. This is a great divide. There's a great lie. Lie that seniors and older people are irrelevant. They are very naggy, quite weak, you know, useless already, you know. After retirement, they say, you know, that's it. They're very stubborn. These are the common words that we use about seniors. It's a great lie. And oftentimes we hear in churches that older people are saying, hey, you know what, wow, you know, 60 already, 65 already, I will take a back seat. I will let the youths go and chiong. Which is you guys. Right? Not? So in my church, the same thing. The youths are called the generations. So they let the generations go and chiong, then the older ones, they will take a back seat. That's pretty much the worldview of the world. They believe that when you come to an old age, is your time is up. But again, I want you to read the scripture. Can you read louder this time with me? Okay? Let's read it. 1, 2, 3. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Talks about two trees, okay? Two trees, the cedar tree and the palm tree, right? This is the palm tree, the Mediterranean palm that resides in Israel, right? Palm tree, super fruitful. This is where you get your dates from. And it's fresh, fruitful, and flourishing. Why? This tree, always fresh. Right? Green. Fresh. Looking good. All the time. Right? Never have brown leaves. Very fruitful. When the fruits come, it's not like a few fruits. You know, certain plants, we have less like a few fruits, like very stingy. Palm tree is like, poof, fruitful. and they're always flourishing, growing a lot of leaves again and again. See, the top leaves are starting to grow, the young ones are starting to grow. This is the picture, a prophetic picture of old age. That scripture was written for old people only, and is to tell old people that, hey, you are a palm tree. So next time when you see your grandma and older people, that is how God sees them. As a fruitful tree that continues to still bear fruit in their lives. Give an example. A cedar tree. Okay? This is a cedar tree. Nice on this cedar tree. In the past, the legends have it, it's a forest of cedars, right? Where armies will guard these cedar trees with their lives. And interestingly, this tree has everything is fruitful about this tree. Why? Because from the trunk, the wood, the leaves, the sap, fruit, everything can be used in this tree. And God says, oh folks, you are a cedar tree. You are a cedar tree. And I like this picture about the cedar tree. Standing tall, majestic. And oftentimes they say life is as such. Springtime, young baby, looking good, 青春美丽. Right? Summertime, or by the time you reach your 50s, it's like autumn time. When you reach 60, 70, it's your winter time. It's really like cold and dreary and depressing already. But in this picture, what do you notice about the cedar tree compared to all the other trees? What do you notice? What do you notice? Any difference? Can someone shout out? Wow, very brave. Very good. Give him an applause. Woo! Yeah. Leaves. It's still fresh. It's still flourishing in winter. When all the others are really like, okay, let's go and sleep. Let's hibernate. Right? Die off. Drop off all the trees. It's still standing there with its leaves. Right? Still declaring the glory of God. And say, hey, I'm made for this. Winter time, still flourishing, still fresh, still fruitful. That's the cedar tree. That's a picture of old age. How is it relevant to you? It's very interesting, because I do work with younger people as well. And young people tell me this, tell my team also, hey, Isaiah, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm afraid to grow old. And I'm like, wow. Young people are so scared to grow old. It's just because how the world has shaped old age. And we start to believe and hold on to that. But God says no. So today I just pray that this scripture will shift. The truth in this world will shift how you think and how you view old age and old people. And the end of that verse, God says, fruitful, fresh, flourishing. That's good stuff. But what's the point? And it's at the end of it that it says, to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in Him. The whole point about growing old is to declare. The whole point to be fruitful, flourishing, and fresh when you're old is to declare that the Lord is upright. Why? Because people always say, hey, wow, where's your God? Now you got cancer already. Where's your God? Right? But then old people have to say that my God is upright. He is always faithful. He is my rock. I will still stand upon Him despite my age, despite my sicknesses, despite my pain. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. He's completely, always perfectly righteous. So the whole point of growing old is to be a declaration. So for those above 55 in this room, may this be an encouragement to you. And also be voices to your parents and grandparents. The whole point to grow old is to be a declaration. And when we're young, we are growing, growing, and growing. To come to 60, our prime, so that we can declare that God is upright. Yep, and old age is the time of identification with Christ, and it's really very much we can learn from, you know. And I learned this truth because I observe old people as a young youth. This year I turned non-youth already. 35 and below is youth, right, in Singapore. This year, yeah, around there already. So I learned from this lady called Auntie Beatrice. 87 years old. She came into my kind of wellness program because she was a little bit depressed and she was a bit weaker. But she was such a woman of praise and prayer from St. Hilda's Church. Interesting lady. Here she was. So one day she called me and said, "Isaiah, I'm now in Assisi Hospice." So if you know a hospice, if you're in there, you only have about maximum 3 months to live. Okay? And you can see Auntie Beatrice, like my dad, has really started to lose a lot of weight, completely, almost skeleton already. And that's my little pui pui chubby daughter there, still eating. Alright? That's Sophia. And when I was on the phone with her, she just told me that. I'm like a bit shocked. But she said, before I could pray for her, she said, "Isaiah, I want to pray for you." I'm like, wow, okay. So she prayed for me. And I said, okay, I'll come and visit you tomorrow. So next day, I went to Assisi Hospice. I walked in. Walked into the room. And Auntie Beatrice saw me. I can see she was a bit agonizing, a little bit of pain, you know. And she said, "Isaiah, come sit. Come. I want to pray for you." I was like, okay, pray for me again, okay? So I went to pray. The moment she laid her hands on me, wow, power of God came upon me. She's not any pastor whatsoever, but she's just an old lady, faithful, an old lady that carries the authority of an older person, right? The honor of an older person praying for me, and God honors that, bam, ministered to me, spoke to me, so much. Right? And then I learned that old age is something that I want. I want to grow old so that I come to a place where I can start blessing people just because of my age. I can start to bless. I can start to impart. I can start to give. Right? To the next generation. And that was her sole purpose, her sole focus, to continue praying, because she knew her days are short. She keep imparting whatever she has, imparting. I remember she said that, "Isaiah, I'm just looking forward, being faithful, looking forward for that little door to open, and I'm going into the glory." Okay? And this is a video of her. Interestingly, her daughter sent me this video. She said that somehow her mom wants her to be videoed so that it can be shared. She didn't know that I am going to start sharing in churches. It was at that point of time where God was going to call me, "Isaiah, I want you to be the voice. Go out to speak. Go out to share." And this video was made available. And so then I'm showing this video. This verse was taken minutes before she went home. Just minutes. So this is her worshipping the Lord, mastering her strength, just raising up her hands, worshipping the Lord, declaring that the Lord is upright, declaring that there's no unrighteousness in our God. So minutes after this, they stopped worshipping and kind of like clean her face and stuff. And when they look at her, one of the worshippers said, "Hey, she stopped breathing already. She's gone." And at that moment, I kind of knew that, wow, that's how you die. That's the best way to die. That's how she entered the narrow gate into glory. That's how we finish life gloriously. And that's my aim. And that's my aim, to see every older person come to that place. Your grandparents, your parents, even yourself, come to that place where you can cross the threshold and finish gloriously. And it's interesting. The question next is, why turn our hearts? Why? And it's only recently that I got this revelation. And I believe it's because I'm gonna come here. And then I'm like, wow, you know, I always knew that when older people abdicate their place in church or in their families, they like take a back seat. What happens is that the younger generation, they kind of lose certain things, right? Things that Auntie Beatrice want to keep blessing and keep imparting, they kind of lose it. And oftentimes I hear from my friends in other churches, when they run ministry, it's like they're building again from scratch, just as if they're building. They're not building on the shoulders or the ceiling of the prior generation. They're building again. They're digging again. They're building. And so I asked God, like, wow, you know, is there something that can be taken from the older generation? Besides just looking and seeing their experience. One is faith. Faith in this example of Timothy. Having faith from his grandma. Having faith from his grandma that's being passed down from Grandma Lois to her mom to her. And he needed to follow in the footsteps. But the problem that I observed is that there's always been a disconnect with the divide, right? So at one hand, we are under the lie that older people, not necessary anymore, irrelevant, taking a back seat, we lose that blessing. The next is there's a divide, a disconnect, maybe a disconnect of hearts with our parents, with our grandparents, and they cross a block. They can't follow their footsteps. They can't receive. And thereby, as a young generation, we will lose out what God wants us to receive from our parents and our grandparents. And today my heart is to see you turn back your heart towards your parents and your grandparents so that you can receive fully what God has for your family units, remembering that we are going to form an army together. I'm just going to end with two more slides. I just want to focus on the word on the top. I kind of studied through the Bible, but study about every older person and the interaction between young and old. And on the left side is about seniors being disempowered and empowered, but I just want to focus on the right side, right? From disconnected to connected. And how we could connect. So as you come back to my heart turning towards my dad and my mom, when I started to honor them and respect them, I always thought respect was like just being obedient. Just being obedient to them. You know, just being nice. Not being crude or rude to them. That's like respect. And that's what our Asian values teach us, that originates from Confucius, Kongzi. You know? But God has a higher standard in honor. So honor it means hada, which is to give weight, to make someone heavier. You know, it's as if like you're in a boxing ring, and it's like your grandma is there, and you want to lend weight to your grandma. So if I have a lot of titles and a lot of stuff, I want to lend weight to her so that she becomes a heavy weight. Right? In the old days, when an emperor or a general wins a war, they would basically put him on a pedestal and lift him up. Alright? So the other way of giving honor to somebody, right, is not just lending weight, but it's to lift up. Meaning, the younger generation carrying and shouldering. And by lifting up the general, everyone can see him or her and they can celebrate. And so oftentimes in church, we don't celebrate old people. It's like a marathon. At the start, push, a lot of people celebrate. Shout, scream, 2 kilometers. But when you come to the end, what will happen in a marathon? The last 5 kilometers, you start to see people lining up, lining up, lining up to celebrate, to, because they know they are coming to the finishing line. Right? But in life, we celebrate when we are babies. Babies come, celebrate, everyone comes. But when older person who is coming to the end, to the finishing line, nobody's there. Nobody's affirming. You can do it. Remember your promises. Remember the prophecies. No one's affirming grandma. No one is saying, come, I carry you. Let's finish. I want to see you finish well. No one encourages and gives them strength. Folks, old people, how God sees old people, though they are 90 years old, to God, they are children. We are all children. Old, young, middle-aged are all children of God. So let's lift them up. Lend them weight. And so that's what I did last year with this revelation out of praying. You know, this bunch of fathers, about 30, 40 of us, from Elijah 7000. Every Saturday, we'll be at Covenant Methodist at 4:56. Was Jason Wong here before to speak to you guys? Yes. Yeah. 4:56, we'll be praying for Singapore. True Love East, Heartbeat Project, Jim, Go for a Mountain, came out from E7K prayer. And so Jim, which is the heart of God, for the Calebs to arise, go for your mountain. Because when Caleb says, give me my mountain, he didn't say, hey, old folks, let's go climb the mountain, let's fight the giants. He says, give me a mountain, I want to fight the best and the craziest, biggest giant, take Hebron. But he went out with an intergenerational army. Right? And so, the genesis of Go for a Mountain is a national movement of climbing Mount Faber. It's a mountain. Singapore no mountain, huh? Only got Mount Faber. So last year, we said, hey, let's do something crazy, man. Let's go to the nursing homes, right, and find the old people, ask them to go and climb Mount Faber. We believe there's Calebs in them. Of course, the nurses, doctor, they were like, wow, they like cover their eyes, lah. You know, but of course, I'm an exercise physiologist by training. So we tried the impossible. Actually, we don't know whether it's possible or not, lah. But we went. We went. 6 uncle and auntie out of 120 people in nursing home that we asked, they said, okay lah, maybe can try lah, huh? They were bed bound or on wheelchair. Right? First day, they can only walk from here to the end of the auditorium. Most of them, that's it, in 6 minutes, they only can walk there, that's it. Right? Assisted like that. By the end of 3 months, they climb up Mount Faber. And this was the picture. And there you start to see the glory of God as they ascend up the mountain on Feast of Tabernacles up to the top of Mount Faber. Right? And you see people praying for one another. You see music. You see families climbing up Mount Faber together. Right? And that's Go for a Mountain. That's calling the nation of Singapore to dream again, to believe that whatever that's God put in you, whatever mountain is, you can go for it. Young and old. Right? And before Go for a Mountain, there was a significant thing that was done. It was when the E7K, Elijah 7000 fathers, there were certain old ones there as well. They were grandfathers already. And many of them, some of them have not really good relationships with their kids or their grandchildren. And so I felt, hey, that we really need to repent on behalf of our generation and go forward to pray for the older people. And I tell you that day, the older people just cried. They just cried. Because there was so much barriers, so much to uncover in them as we pray. And that's why we started laying hands on them, the older people. We started laying hands on the older people and say, hey, affirm you. We started prophesying over them. We started speaking into their lives. And you start to see them strengthen up. And so today, we can have a worship team come up. Thanks. Today I just want to invite you. Because I believe that God is going to turn your hearts. If you need to sit down there, God is speaking to you about specific relationships. Be it your father, be it with your mom, your grandma, just stirring. And I believe that as a younger generation, our heart yearns and cry out for love of our fathers, for that connection of our fathers. And that's something that God wants to do, because in the last days, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So today, you just have that tugging. You know, I just want to invite you just to calm down. Just say, God, change the way I see things. Turn my heart. Let me show you one more revelation that I had just down there when I stood down there. As I was standing down there before I came up, the revelation came to me that we can never fulfill the second commandment if we can't see our father, our mother, our neighbors as how Father God sees them. We can't love our neighbor, we can't love our parents with all our hearts. It's like we just can't, we can't see them in God's eyes. And I believe that God is going to give you a revelation of how Father God sees your dad, how Father God sees your mom, how Father God sees your grandparents, because they are children of God still. They are children of God. And God wants to start turning hearts. Thank you.
I just invite you to rise. Let's worship God.
As we respond to God in song, I just want to give my personal encouragement. If you were stirred by the message that Isaiah shared, and you know that God is calling you to come to a place of repentance, first how you see your parents or your grandparents, you can respond in front. And we have people who can pray alongside you. But I also felt that there's a call also to ask some of you to release forgiveness as well. And part of how we turn our hearts to our parents and our grandparents is, of course, through forgiveness. If you don't release that bitterness in your heart, you cannot fully honor, you cannot receive. And whatever they want to share with you, whatever perspective God wants to give to you, you cannot receive. So as we have this song, I just want to ask all of you if you would just respond if God is speaking that to you, okay?
Kept and baited, Lord, by you alone.
out tonight the awesomeness of you alone. Melted by the grace and mercy you have shown, I stand in wonder. I reach to you, the one who makes the blind eyes see, who breaks the chains of sickness with authority, restoring what was broken so it may fly again. I live to worship you. I breathe to worship you. All of my days, your face I will see. For as I worship you, you lead me to that hearts captivated by you alone, captured by the awesomeness of you alone, melted by the grace of mercy you have shown. I stand in wonder. I reach to you, the chains of sickness with authority, restoring what was broken. Thank you.
even sustain on there, and I was just reminded one thing of my family that I heard from my great grand aunt. My great grandfather, our whole family, they are basically temple builders. We come from an illustrious background in a sense. We build temples. And then they run temples in China and in Singapore. Bright Hill and the many other temples. Buddhism came from my family in Singapore. Why am I sharing this? It's because God has saved my family now. And now, what I'm doing, I'm building platforms for God's glory to fall, God's kingdom to come. And I believe God has done a restorative, redemptive work in my family, where now we are building places where people can be restored, places where people can be saved. And then I realize that there are giftings, talents. It's that when God gives to people, even though you do not follow God, you just have that trait to do what you are built to do, you're made to do. And so, to those who are not at the front, you know, if you have a desire to say, God, I want to be used by you, but somehow, I'm not sure. Somehow, I don't know what my family has been called to, what I as an individual has been called to. And as I saw in my grandparents, my father coming down, there's a generational blessing and trait that when I understood, it helped me understand my identity more, my call, my assignment, in such a great manner that I knew why God created me as an individual. And so if you want that, if you want to know and come to a place where in alignment and cry out to God and say, God, yes, I want to know why I'm created for. So come forward and ask God, Lord, come forward and say, God, show me, show me, show me. I want what Isaiah has. His whole family was turned. I want my family to be turned, and I want to know what I was created for. Come forward and just call to God and ask God, and I believe He will show it to you. Thank you.
And I'm so blown away by the video of just that old woman raising up her hands all the way to the ends of her life. And that is God's dream for you. That's God's dream for your family, for your parents, for your grandparents. And I know that if we want to be that generation that will worship God right to the very end, we do so together with the generations that's gone before us. And we honor their faith. We honor God's perspective of them. We do not leave our faith alone. So today we want to honor the people that God has placed in our midst, our parents and our grandparents. Can we just take 1 minute on your own to just simply pray a blessing over your parents and your grandparents if they are still here? Just thank God for their lives. Thank God for the investment they have made in you and how they have walked. Father, we thank you for being a God of our families. We recognize you as the head of all our households, that you have done a work in our parents' and our grandparents' life and ours. Even when we cannot see your hand, you are there. We are where we are today because you have been there, and you are the faithful Father who never leaves or forsakes us. And God, we are so thankful for the people you have placed in our midst, no matter how old they are. And God, we pray that you forgive us when we have not viewed them through your lenses, when we have not seen them through your word. And today, God, we ask that you give us fresh eyes to see the people that you have placed in our midst, to love them the love that you want us to have. God, we thank you for placing them in our lives. And God, will you change our hearts? God, if there are any hearts here that find it hard to forgive or to let go of different things that has happened in the household. Because we ask for your grace, we ask for your ability, your favor, your capacity to forgive and to love well. God, would you teach us as a youth ministry to know how to love our parents and our grandparents, how to love and value and honor them well? How do you want us to walk with them? Teach us, God. And today we bless them. We bless them that they will know the richness of your love daily all the way to the end. That they will be a dreaming generation. Lord, we lift up all of them, our parents and our midst to you. Whether they know you or they do not know you. We pray that for those of us with pre-believing parents, that they will come to know of your saving grace. And we pray for those who do know you, if their love have grown cold, that they once again will dream your dreams again. That they will be close to your heart. And God, I pray for each one of us here, that we will want to know the journey of our parents and how they have come to know you. We will want to know the dreams that you have placed on their hearts. We will not be a self-centered generation, only caring about my destiny, my calling, my life. But we will look up, we will look forward and see the people who have gone before us. So God, we thank you for the richness of the community you have placed in our midst, the richness of our legacy that we have. And God, we give you thanks today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall we just raise up a thanksgiving to God? Shall we just also thank Isaiah for sharing that message with us? Yeah, I really appreciate it. I couldn't stop crying after the video. I'm still crying now. So I hope that you guys today, this gives you a picture of God's heart for your parents and grandparents. So the project that we have that's coming up for different ones of you guys, I hope that you will take it with weight, because it's really to help facilitate you to know your parents' journey better, okay? So we'll see you guys next week. Service is over. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.